welcome to Vision Scope, a program designed to educate and inform on matters relating to disabilities. My name is Wilbert Williams. My very special guest today is Randy Brown. Randy is a Jamaican, but he is currently residing in Mauritius. And Randy has a very interesting story to tell, and we're going to listen to his story and see what we can glean from it. Randy, welcome to Vision Scope.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes. We have known each other for some time, but it's strange. Although you have been on Vision Scope before, you have not been on Vision Scope before. You have been on other places with me before, but not on Vision Scope. So it's really a pleasure to have you on Vision Scope today. Randy, before we go into your story, talk to us a little bit about Mauritius. It's not very often we get somebody from Mauritius to come on and talk to us. Where is Mauritius, roughly?
Well, Mauritius is located in the Indian Ocean, mm-hmm. and that is in East Africa. So Mauritius is an East African country. Mm-hmm. The ethnicity is Black, and mm-hmm. it's a multicultural country because you do have Chinese and you also have white people over here. Mm-hmm. But most of the population is Indians. Okay. The Indians are majority here. One thing I really love with Mauritius, you have many people from different religious background, and they all live as one.
Because they coexist nicely.
Yes, they mm-hmm. coexist very, very nicely. There's no animosity between mm-hmm. any of the community religiously. Everybody mm-hmm. just live as one. Because mm-hmm. I've always said, you know, our perception and Muslim and the Muslim community and how the West portrays, you know, the Muslim community. Yes. And Mauritius has changed my view because I when I came over here and I understand and get to know the culture, I have been, you know, around Muslims, and these people are some very, very nice people, mm-hmm. you know, and I really, my opinion has changed, you know, regarding Muslim.
But you know, Randy, in all fairness, we have good people everywhere, you know. Anywhere we go, we have good people. The only unfortunate thing is that in some areas, we have more people who are not intent on doing good or not intent on living with one another properly.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that is most unfortunate. So you have
But this is one other thing, as I said, I really love with Mauritius.
Yes,
everybody just live as one. And it's really great.
What is the population like?
So the population is, the last census was done last year. Mm. And it's a population of 1.2 million.
Okay.
So there is 1.2 million persons living here in Mauritius. And as I said, mm-hmm. most of the population is made up of Indian descent.
So Mauritius is really smaller than Jamaica then?
Yes, Mauritius is small. Yeah, it mm-hmm. is smaller because it's smaller in land space and it's smaller in population.
Yeah, in land space.
Because one of the... Yes, in land space.
Do you know the actual square mile?
No, actually, I didn't research it.
Research that one.
By walking on the for me, I do navigate Mauritius a lot. And just by the infrastructure, you know, the sidewalk. Because I've had discussion with many people, And I've always said that living here in Mauritius has really increased my mobility skills, because the infrastructure, the sidewalk, like one of Jamaica sidewalk can make 1.5 of, you know, Mauritian sidewalk. So the place is very narrow. And not only that, we also have challenges where people, you know, tend to park on the sidewalk as well. Because it's a big challenge. And because of this, you know, you don't see a lot of blind persons, you know, in society, out there in society in Mauritius. They're mostly locked away.
Because are they afraid to come out or what?
Culturally, yes. Their family, according to the culture of Mauritius and some beliefs, you know, you have many, many different beliefs. But, you know, one other thing is they do get a good pension over here. That's one that can really sustain them for the month. So most family members will say to their blind relative that, listen, you don't have to work, you know, you don't have to go out in society because the government take good care of you. But unfortunately, this really, you know, hold them back.
It's a hindrance rather than a help in some ways.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. But all in all, Mauritius is a very nice country. The music is very nice. I love the Mauritian music. The people, as I said before, are very nice. And Mauritian food, you know, is very good. They eat a lot of curry over here. And they cook with a lot of
because
wine.
Of the Indian culture.
Yes. But also, Mauritius was colonized by the French before. And even though the British came and took over, Mauritius are still heavily influenced by the French culture. So also over here, they do cook with a lot of wine, you know. And I'm telling you, it's not like just a little tip of wine. They will cook like a whole, like duck or, you know, guinea fowl or chicken, like in a bottle of wine.
In a bottle of wine.
Wow. Yes.
Wow. So, that's supposed to be nice, but
it's very
it's supposed
nice,
to you know, leave you a little... You know,
yes, well, not if you're used to it.
I suppose your system adjusts after a while.
Yes, it adjusts after some time. Yeah. But the way they prepare it from overnight, so they like get the cinnamon, they use cinnamon, they use clove, they use star anise, they use garlic, you know, they grate. They don't in Jamaica we cut our season, they don't do that, they grate it.
It.
So you know, yeah, and you know,
marinate, see the cultural differences showing up.
So it's very, very delicious. So the food is very good. They eat a lot of roti as well, and dal puri, and yeah, so and a lot of sweet cake, because the Indians, you know, they love sweet cakes.
Yes. What and most, I would imagine, most of them speak some level of English.
So the first language for Mauritius is officially the English language.
But
most of the people speak the Mauritian Creole. It's 85% of the population speak the Mauritian Creole, and they also speak French as well. So English is behind those two, Mauritian Creole and French. Right. So you have the younger generation now are learning to speak more English. But like people from, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, you know, 80s coming up, you know, they don't know a lot of English.
It's mostly
the Mauritian Creole or French.
I can't end this discussion on Mauritius without asking you some things about work for the blind in Mauritius. What is it like there? What organizations have they got?
For me, I work for an organization called Global Rainbow Foundation. The initial GRF. So what this organization does is that we cater for all kinds of disabilities, you know, for persons who are physically disabled, mentally disabled, you know, for the deaf and for the blind as well. And we also offer some medical service. What we do is that, like, for persons, like for me, I'm going to speak for me. I am the head of the blind department.
Okay.
So my job is, you know, to recruit blind persons and train them. So what I do, I train them, you know, teach them computer literacy. And when they are able to use the computer in a professional way, then we find jobs for them.
That's an awesome responsibility, Randy. That's an awesome responsibility. And
it is.
How are you finding it?
It's challenging, as I said before, based on how the culture is over here in Mauritius. It's difficult, you know, to get, you know, blind persons to you know, gravitate to this idea of working and being independent. You know, because as I said before, based on the substantial
income from the government.
From the government.
Yes.
So it's very difficult, you know, to get them. But I've been having some success so far, because since I've been here and since I've been, you know, training persons, one is telling one and the other one is telling another one. And so the news is spreading. And not only that, they proclaim me as the best Mauritius has ever seen regarding computer training.
Oh, that's something to your credit.
Yes, yes. They always said it. Even to be factual, you know, many of them told me, listen, don't go back to Jamaica.
You have been captured, Randy. You have been captured. But it's one of those things that we enjoy. We don't mind that kind of export, because that is quality exportation. Yes,
because it's a joy, you know, when you get these persons, you know, because sometimes some of them have basic computer skill, like some of them might, you know a little bit, but majority of the things they don't know. Some of them, you know, they don't even have as much as keyboard skills. And, you know, when they receive the training and they see, you know, what they
the possibility is,
you know, it's so amazing to them. It's like, for them, it was impossible before. This thing could never be achieved.
Randy, let's leave Mauritius now and talk a little bit about you. You, as I said at the outset, you're a Jamaican, and you are totally blind.
Yes.
But you were not born blind, eh?
No, I was not. Well, basically, according to the doctors, yes, I was born blind. Because when I was born, my mom says, you know, after 6 months' time, you know, she said she was playing with me, and she realized that I'm not following our movement. You know, she's, you know, moving her hand and, you know, touching me and playing and just not following our movement. So,
but you had some sight, you know, you had some sight. Did you?
Yes, but I'm going to get into that. So when I was 6 months, my mom took me to an ophthalmologist and they confirmed that I was blind, you know, so. There I was, blind at 6 months. I guess maybe it has been from birth, but my mom and the doctors discovered it at 6 months. But when I reached like 1 year old, my mom says, you know, I started to follow movements. You know, I started to respond to them playing with me, and you know, I started to follow things, you know, and I started to go and touch things and take up things from the ground, right? And they realized that, you know, I had some sight. They took me back to the doctor, and doctor confirmed that yes, miraculously I have some sight. It wasn't perfect vision, but it was vision enough where, you know, when I got big enough, I could string a needle.
That's so, plenty vision. That does
reasonable vision. Yes. So after 1 year, when I started to see, you know, I grew up normally. You know, I played with the sighted kids, you know, football, cricket, you know, everything. I participated in the community activities and such. So it was, you know, a normal childhood for me. But when I reached 16, I discovered that my sight, you know, it starts to deteriorate.
Let's back up a little bit, Randy. What primary school? How did you manage with your primary school education? You went to a regular primary school system?
Yes. I was the St. Catherine primary. You know, it was it was all right for me. As I said, my vision was good enough. You know, I could manage.
You were able to see the board and to write things off the board and all that.
I would able to see the board, but the teacher would make sure that, you know, I'm in the front, you know, in the front of the class, you know.
So the teachers recognized that you had a problem.
Yes, they
accepted that.
Yes.
Okay, so you went through primary school and then on to high school. What was it like in high school? Because high school can be challenging.
High school, for me, you know, I really had fun at high school because basically it was like, you know, schoolboy back then, you know, we call it the glory days. You know, for some people, as I said, depend on your situation, it can be very challenging. But for me, you know, high school was fun. I really, really enjoyed, you know, going to high school. And for those who don't know, yes, it's the school from Monk Street. Yes, St. Jago High.
St. Jago High, which is one of the leading schools in Jamaica.
One of the leading institutions.
I would say it's in the top 10.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And so for me, back in high school was fun. When I started to stress, it was, you know, when I realized that, you know, my sight was going now.
So after a while, the sight began to fade.
Yes. After a while, my sight began to fade. And, you know, that has, you know, really, that really brought on a lot of stress because, you know, you started to think about the negative. It's just natural because, you know, you are in high school and you're able to, you know, compete with the best of the best, you know, with everybody, whether regarding sports or whatever, you know, you're playing at their level, and, you know, to realize that in a, you know, that is a possibility that before you end high school, you know, you might go totally blind. And basically
frightening,
that, you know, yes, it's very frightening. And it was very, very stressful, you know, to be honest. And it was so stressful that I really ended up quitting at 16.
Because you didn't stay till the end of your high school.
I just really couldn't, you know, deal with it. I was demotivated. It was like, you know, it's a feeling that I would say it's, you know, indescribable. I don't, even if I tried, I know I, you know, I would have, you know, failed, basically. So I had to quit. Because of the situation.
How did your mother respond to all of this? Because mothers are usually so caring and, you know, considerate and all of this thing. She must have cried her heart out.
And my mom, you know, was a single parent. And yes, you know, and I am the last child for her. And even now, she affectionately referred to me as her baby. Mm. So I would never stop being her baby, even if I'm 100 years old. So yes,
you're always the baby. You have other siblings in your family.
Yes. So for my mom had seven of us, four boys and three girls, and my dad, on his side, you know, got two girls and one boy. So I have five sisters and five brothers.
So it's a large family.
It's a large family. Yeah.
Yes.
So it was very hard for her. And yes, mm-hmm. you know, she did cry. You know, she tried to give me her support as much as possible. But it was just too, it was very hard for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until, you know, when I reached 18,
mm-hmm.
I lost my sight completely.
Completely.
You know, completely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it deteriorated very rapidly over a mm-hmm. 2-year period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at 18, you know, I was there. I didn't have anything to do. I didn't know how I was going to manage, you know. Mm-hmm. My mom and my family, you know, they supported me a lot, but you know, when you're all alone and by yourself and you're thinking, even suicidal thoughts,
mm-hmm.
you know, crept into the mind sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it can be very, very tough. But in 2005,
mm-hmm.
I met a friend. And he asked me if I don't know anything about the Jamaica Society for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
And I said no. And he said, all right, I'm going to get you in touch with them. And mm-hmm. so he got me in touch with the Jamaica Society for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
My mobility trainer back then, and there were two that was working at Jamaica Society for the Blind. That mm-hmm. was Angela Mowat, Miss Angela Mowat. And Annette Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Powell was my personal mobility trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when she came to my home, you know, and she met me and she started talking to me and, you know, started to be all positive and telling mm-hmm. me, listen,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though I'm blind, there's so much possibilities, there's so much mm-hmm. things you can do. And you know, the first time I met her and she spoke with me, for me, I just had a natural love for Miss Powell, because the way how she, you know, the way how she came and she talked, it's just like, I felt like, you know, yeah, I can do anything.
You because saw the possibilities. You saw the possibilities.
Possibility, mm. And I just really felt, not only just saw mm. it, but I just felt different,
mm-hmm.
right? And then, you know, she came and she started to give me various training, like, you know, how to walk with people. You know, she started to teach me how to use the cane, you know, in my community, because I wasn't going anywhere before, you know. And then I started to walk around in my community, you know, using the cane. And it propelled my confidence,
mm-hmm.
you know, to another level. And the first vow that I made to myself is that I want to depend on me,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
When I see this possibility, I said, yes, I want to depend on me, because, you know, family and friends, they can do so much for you, but if you constantly depend on them, you know, sometimes they will get tired. It's natural. Right. And for me, I just wanted that kind of possibility where I just said to myself, yes. I'm going to strive for this. Mm-hmm. And from the training in my community, then, you know, we went on the road and the public transport system. But even before I go there, when Miss Powell came, you know, to give me the training, my mom was saying, no, she's not going to let me go.
She's fearful.
Yeah, she was very fearful. She said, you know, what if he's walking on the road and something hit him? And, you know, what am I going to do? So Miss Powell, you know, told her that, listen, people are always there. You know, people are always there to help, right? And she, in spite of what Miss Powell was telling her, she was just a no-no. Then Miss Powell said to me, all right, you are an adult. What do you say? What do you want? And I said, I want this training. And, you know, yes, I said, I want this training. I'm going to do it.
Which is
and
the
then,
key.
Yes. And then after we started going on the road for the, I think on three occasions, I went with her. And then on the fourth occasion, she said, listen, you have to come meet me at the Alpha Tree Transport Center. Right, she said she's
that's
going to
wait for me. That's where the challenge begins.
Yeah, that's where the challenge comes in. And then, you know, even though I've been doing the training and such, you know, when you're with her, when I'm with her, it's you know much easier. Yes, because you know you're with somebody, but
yes.
to do it by yourself, you know, as I said, that's where the challenge begins. And so, you know. I said, I'm going to do it. I woke up the Friday. It was a Friday. And I freshened up myself. And, you know, I said, I am going to do this. And then I go, because my mom didn't let me go, you know, alone, like to take a taxi alone. Because where I live in Spanish Town, I have to take a taxi to the center where I will get the bus to go to Alpha Tree. So, my mom, you know, accompanied me and to the taxi stand. I took the taxi, went to Spanish Town. I came out of the taxi and I was saying to myself, what am I going to do? Then I started to walk with the cane, you know, walk in the general direction, because I asked the taxi driver, like, you know, where do I go from here? And he said, just go straight. You will go directly in the bus park. So I started walking, and then somebody stopped me and said, where would you want to go? And I said, I would like to go take the Alpha Tree bus. And then, you know, I went, in, the person accompanied me to the Alpha Tree bus. And then, you know, the bus left and I reached Alpha Tree Transport Center, because those times the center had just, you know, just built. They just finished building it. So it was a hot place to be in Jamaica. Alpha Tree Transport Center. And so, you know, when I reached there, you know, there were many, many people around, milling around and such. And, you know, when the bus stopped, I came out of the bus and I asked somebody, I said, you know, it was a lady. I said, excuse me, mom, can you take me upstairs? And she said, yes. And so, you know, she took me upstairs.
Oh, nice.
And I reached before Miss Powell. And then when she came and saw me, she, you know, she was overjoyed. You know, she said,
yes,
you can do it. And And then the next challenge was for me to go directly to the society by myself, which I didn't achieve.
So you see, it's in stages, and each stage
it's in stages.
A more difficult, but better.
But the fact that I achieved that first goal was, you know, it was so it was a fantastic feeling. I just feel like there is nothing else that I couldn't achieve. And so when she tell me, you know, to come to the Jamaica Society for the blind or on my own, wasn't a problem. I went. You know,
have you ever discussed that incident with your mother in hindsight? How does she feel now? Because maybe looking back, she think, boy, you know, it's a good thing he took that view.
Actually, I'm gonna tell you
about it.
a story, yes. But this is an amazing story because my mom, she takes care of elderly persons. Mm-hmm. That's her, you know, profession. That's what she loves to do. Yes, mm-hmm. day-to-day job. She was working mm-hmm. in Westmoreland. And I was okay. living in Spanish Town.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, working, like, she was away for 3 months. And she said, mm-hmm. you know, she called me and she said, you know, I'm longing to see you. I haven't seen you for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, would you like to come and look for me? Would you want to come see me? I said, mm-hmm. yes. And remember, she's in Westmoreland. Mm-hmm. And I'm in Spanish Town,
mm-hmm.
right? And I went the day, I said, yes, I'll come see you. And she gave me the direction. And I took my cane. I went to Spanish Town. And I took a bus from Spanish Town to Ochi Reyes. I took a bus. I took a bus from Spanish Town to Ochi Reyes.
Yes.
And then one bus from Ochi Reyes to Montego Bay.
Yes.
And then one bus from Montego Bay to Westmoreland. And wow. when I told the driver where I wanted to stop, when I reached Westmoreland, and the driver stopped there, my mom was already there waiting for me. And when she saw me, she could barely contain her joy. Yes. Yes. She was so, so excited. You know, to see that I traveled from so far all by myself. And right then and there, I said, you know, what if I didn't took that training? Yes. See how far you are working,
exactly.
And how far I come to see
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. And
she laughed
and,
about
and,
it.
Yes.
So we laughed.
Yes. She was, yes. The reluctance turned into joy.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, and over the years, you know, they have seen the way I handled myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like for them, they know that I'm completely independent because my mom lives in New York now, and I'm way in Mauritius.
Mm-hmm. She has migrated.
Don't worry about me. Yes, yeah, she has migrated too.
So one of these days, she's going to come to see you. I have no doubt.
She can come or me can go. Yes. We're gonna have to plan for that. But we haven't.
But you can go New York and don't come Jamaica.
Of course, Jamaica is first on my list.
Jamaica is home.
Yes, it's home.
But I can understand. You want to be where your mom is. It must have been
a long time. I will definitely go to Jamaica first. Then from Jamaica, I will go to New York.
Yeah, okay. You still have siblings residing in Jamaica.
Yes. Lots of siblings and friends. Yes.
So you don't have a problem.
No.
Randy, what is your biggest fear in life? What do you fear most as a person who is blind? Or you have none?
I wouldn't say I don't have any, but to be honest, I've never really thought about that.
Yes.
What do I really fear? But let's say, you know, a chaotic situation where life and death is involved. Mm. And, you know, having sight and not having sight can be the difference between life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I ask you this question because during the past week, we experienced a very strong earthquake. And for me personally, I froze. You know, they talk about going under the door jam and,
yes,
you know, or getting on the table and covering your head and all this kind of thing.
Yes.
I was sitting on the edge of the bed and I couldn't move.
Yes.
I just froze. And it made me think, it could happen to any blind person. And what
exactly.
if?
What exactly. Exactly. So as I just said, you know, a chaotic situation like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could even be on the street, you know, shots starts to fire, you know, gunshot fires, or you know, a car get out of control,
right or left, exactly, or exactly. Or forwards.
So yes. That would be, you know, my kind of, you know, fear, yes. Chaotic situation where mm-hmm. the fact that, you know, you don't have sight, you know, could mm-hmm. really be the difference between you staying alive or ending up, you know, losing your life.
What of the future for Randy Brown? What does Randy see the future looking like? You're in a different country now with some possibilities, more possibilities than you had in Jamaica, I would imagine.
Yes, that's true. For me, my love for technology has, you know, really propelled my thinking and where I want to be in the future. I really see myself being a web developer. And not only being just developing website, but also, you know, being a leader in web content accessibility, basically. Mm-hmm. Because I just completed a course in web accessibility testing.
Oh, you know, and how was that?
It was very, very challenging because this is something where, well, it's more challenging for blind persons because this particular mm-hmm. course is like for sighted persons. Mm-hmm. They design it for persons who develop website, but mm-hmm. blind person can do it. But you do need some assistance, you know, from a sighted perspective.
And you were successful.
So I completed the course successfully, but I have one final exam in order to get the certificate. Okay. And I'm just waiting for the enrollment for that. But mm-hmm. it was very challenging because, you know, it include, you know, a lot of web testing and mm-hmm. And you have to, and the exams, you have to get high proportion in order for you mm-hmm. to move on to the next level because for the first part of it, the knowledge check and everything, you have to get 100% before you can move on. Okay. And when it comes to the testing of the web, the first incremental exams, you had to get also 100%. And then there was another set where you had to get 90%, right? That was the fourth module. And then the fifth exam, which I just told you about, for me to get
the final certificate, thing for the certificate.
It's the final one, and I still have to get 90%. I can't get below that.
So it's demanding all the way.
It's demanding, yes. It's very demanding. Mm-hmm. Right. But you know, it's worth it because for me, I used to, you know, take these things for granted. But you know, when I really see the amount of work that goes into making the internet, you know, accessible mm-hmm. to us, it's just amazing, and mm-hmm. it's something I really, really motivated to do. So that's one of my aspiration for the future, you know, helping mm-hmm. to make sure that web, and not just web but softwares as well, mm-hmm. and documents, you know, all of these be accessible to people like us. And definitely I want to become a web developer too.
Yeah, Randy, we're going to end this interview, but we can't end it without asking you to leave a motivational word with our listeners. So take the next 3 or 4 minutes and talk to our listeners. Some of them are blind, some are not blind, and we want you to leave a word that, you know, everybody can gain something from. What would you say to them?
Well, in life, I would love to say to anybody who is listening, blind or sighted, in life, we all have challenges. They come in different ways, but is, you know, our attitude in dealing with those challenges. As I remember this great quote that says, you know, your attitude determines your altitude. Mm-hmm. And speaking from a blind perspective, as I said, I was extremely negative at the start because I didn't know the possibilities. But when I realize what can be achieved and the possibilities that lies ahead, I gravitated to it. I opened my mind to it. I accepted it, right? And not only just that, I also worked towards achieving it. So whatever challenges you are having, you, first of all, the biggest thing is when you realize that you can overcome these challenges, when you realize the possibility that is there, right, for moving forward and overcoming your obstacle, take it. Because many people tend to linger with these negative ideas, even when it is clear that their situation can be changed. They don't, you know, put their mind into that sort of realm, you know, that positive place where it needs to go. And your mind is very, very powerful. So you have to be careful what you put in there. And for me, I've always, you know, strive to put anything that is positive in my mind. So even if you have cancer, and I've heard so many stories that people were healed from cancers that doctor says, you know, they didn't have any chance to recover from, just by believing, just by, you know, putting their mind in that place where they said to themselves, listen, this is possible and this will happen. So for me, I always said to myself, I want to be independent, right? And it is possible. And because I see that it is possible, I strive for that possibility, right? It was hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. It was tough. Yes. But yes. The mindset that I had, you know, I want to achieve this. And so, you know, I never stop until now. I can tell you I can't say that, you know, we don't need sighted help. We all need sighted help. But for me, I don't need it. Yeah, I need less of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the way I think. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's always good, you know, when you see the possibility, go for it. In spite of your situation, you know, anything is possible and you can achieve anything. And you can overcome any obstacle. Just make sure your mindset is in the right place.
If you have any questions or comments regarding this program, please address them to norwill2@gmail.com. That is norwill2@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Have a happy and productive week. That's it for today. Join me next time when we will present another in the series Vision Scope. Music was provided by Rennie Williams Jr.